Okay, so let's just finish off last week's topic. So last week we discussed the question of making an Erev Tefillin on condition from day one to day two of Yom Tov, saying if today is Yom Tov, then tomorrow isn't, so I don't need an Erev Tefillin. If today is Chol, then I can make an Erev Tefillin tomorrow. It's not a problem. So last week we discussed the vast majority of the sugya, which was the strange position for the Rambam, that Bizman Hazed is more machmir, even though we know that the second day is not actually Yom Tov. And we went through different explanations of that. Is it a technicality based on the fact that you can't make it tonight? You can't say if today is not Yom Tov when you know it is? Or is it something more fundamental, which we saw in Reb Chaim, that the day has this dual identity? It's one day when it's a vaday when viewed by itself, it's a suffix when viewed in conjunction, and therefore one would distinguish between the case of Tanai and the case of the Beit Sishnal to be Yom Tov. Now, what we hadn't discussed was the next line in the Gemara was after this. The Gemara had said that it's not just, the issue at hand here is not just Eruv Tafshilin, but is Eruv Tchumin as well. And the Gemara had concluded that even though Erev Tavshilin you can make Al Tanai, Erev Tchumin you can't. Right? This is what we were up to. Right? If we just look back at the Gemara, this is really a second half of the sugya. Right? So Amar Abchia Barashi Amar Rav, Meiniach Adam Erev Tchumin Miyom Tov L'Chaveru Masne. You can set an Erev Tchumin from the first day of Yom Tov to the second on condition. And Amar Rav, Meiniach Adam Erev Tavshilin Miyom Tov L'Chaveru Masne. And then the Gemara says, why would one distinguish? So, you think Erev Tchumen is mutter, so Erev Tafshilin is definitely mutter. But Mandi Amar Erev Tafshilin, but if you say Erev Tafshilin is mutter, but Erev Tchumen lo, Erev Tchumen you still might think is forbidden, my taima. Because maybe you can't be Kone Shvisa, right? You can't acquire the legal house that you need to acquire for Erev Tchumen, and therefore, even with the Tanai, it won't help you. So that is what we want to just understand, is what is this nature of Kinyan Shvisa. So if you look on the daf, you'll see that there's a long Tosos here. Tosos is basically rehashed in many of the Chachmei Sfarad. It's up to you. We can look at Tosos. I put the Rajba, because the Rajba basically says the same as Tosos, but he's a slightly clearer formulation of it. So I just put the Rajba in source 8. I would suggest looking at the Rajba, but Tosos says a lot of similar things to the Rashba. So the Rashba says as follows, Tamali, V'einu kona b'yom tov klum, d'hamasna, I don't understand. Right? You're saying that even with a condition, you can't make an Erev Tchumen because you're kona shvisa. Right? You're acquiring this theoretical house and saying that this space will be my house for Shabbos, and therefore I can walk 2,000 amos from here. He said, I don't understand. You made a condition. What do you mean you're kona shvisa? You're not. You were kona shvisa al tanai. And if today is in fact Yom Tov, the Tanai dictates that you did not set up your house. And if today is really Chol, then you did, but it's not a problem because it's not Yom Tov. I mean, I don't understand. The whole point of Tanai is that it's conditional. And therefore, if today is actually Yom Tov, you're not doing anything. So how can you say you are doing something? It doesn't make any sense. So the Rashi just answers, Yesh lomar da'afilu b'yom tov safek aser v'nation nirek ikona b'yom tov. He says, you're right. Fundamentally, that should be true. But he says it's a technicality. That making Erev Tchumen looks like a more serious thing, and safek yom tov looks like Yom Tov. So when you set up an Erev Tchumen on Safek Yom Tov, it looks like you're being Kona B'Yom Tov. When the Gemara says you're Kona Shvisa, it doesn't mean you actually are Kona Shvisa. Obviously you're not. You're making the Erev Tchumen on condition. But Erev Tafshilin doesn't look as much of a blatant violation of the spirit of Yom Tov. So that we can allow on condition. And this we just can't, because it looks like you're being Kona. So the Rashba just sort of parries the question. And says, you're right, fundamentally, that should be the case, but it doesn't look that way, so we forbid it.
It should be the case, what? I don't get that.
It should be the case that just like Erev Tafshilin, you can make Al Tanai. Because you can say, look, if today is not Yom Tov, right, so then I'm Kona Shvisa.
Right.
And if today is Yom Tov, I'm not Kona Shvisa, and I'll do it tomorrow.
Right.
So the Rajba says, so what do you mean you're Kona Shvisa on Yom Tov? You're not Kona Shvisa on Yom Tov. If today is Yom Tov, then the condition said that you're going to do it tomorrow, which is not Yom Tov. And if today isn't Yom Tov, so you're being Kona Shvisa on non-Yom Tov.
Right.
So what's the problem? And the Rajba says, you're right, it's essentially a Marasayan problem. Is that it's basically the same thing as Erev Tavshilin. And therefore, just like Erev Tavshilin is Mutter, Erev Tchumen should be Mutter.
Right.
But it looks worse. It seems like a grosser violation of Yom Tov, so we're not going to let you do it on Safek Yom Tov. But you're right, fundamentally, it's the exact same rules. It's just, we draw a line in the sand somewhere, and we say Erev Tavshilin doesn't look that bad, so we allow Yudas Tanai. Erev Tchumen looks worse. We don't allow Yudas Tanai. Well, there's nothing fundamental to it. But what the Rashba is highlighting is that it should be the same, but it's not. That's basically what he concludes. Now again, that may relate to this question of what do we mean when we say it's not Yom Tov? Is it really not Yom Tov at all, right? Or is it when we are making the Tanai, because we keep 2 days of Yom Tov, they both have some sort of element of Yom Tov in it. So, you know, because it's at some level Yom Tov, we're not going to let you violate Yom Tov in such a blatant way by, you know, making a temporary house, as it were, for Erev Tchumen. Or is he just saying it's a pure Marasayin? It's not totally clear. But anyways, that's what the Rashba says. But then he continues. He says, "V'od kashali, I have another question. Maika amar de lemikne beisa v'yom tov alo. What do you mean that we don't acquire a house on Yom Tov, this virtual house of the Erev Tchumen? V'amrinan be'erevin beperekol ma'arvin, erev beraglov berishon ma'arev beraglov b'sheni. We saw this recently, right, this Gemara in Erevin. When you make an Erev Tchumen, you can do it by setting food aside, or you can walk to the place which you want to set up as your house for Shabbos, your virtual house, and say, I am setting my place here where I stand. So he says, I understand if you put aside food, because then what you're doing is you're building a residence, which looks bad. But what if you do it the other way, where you don't build your residence, you walk to the place and you say, this is where I'm going to make my Erev. Right, you're Erev Biraglov, right? So then you're not being Konesh Visa in any significant way. Someone looks at you and you're just standing there saying words. Why is it any worse than Erev Tavshilin? It's better, if anything. Right? So he says, I don't understand. Ulu Rabbi Lazar, Ma'arev Afilu Bepas. And Rabbi Lazar at the time had said that you could make this Tanai and do it with bread. Ubepas Rishon Miyak Damar Shmuel Lazar V'lo Chashin L'mekin HaBeisa Giyacha. And Rabbi Lazar there had said that we could do this Tanai thing even with bread. And he wasn't concerned about little mikne besa. So he says, Yesh lomar dahasam kevin lo ma'arev bepas chadash ela bepas rishon shekvar erev bo lo michzi kikona achshav ela kikinyan shekona merev yom tov. He said, what was the case there where you had already made one on erev yom tov and now you wanted to set a new one? Right? You made one erev yom tov and now you want to switch for Shabbos. Right? You have a 3-day yom tov, so you made one for yom tov and now you want to switch one for Shabbos. So assuming that's mutter, you're using the same bread and you're just moving it, right? You're taking your virtual house and you're moving it of you know, 2,000 amos. But you're not creating something new. So he says, okay, so halachically is it the same thing? Yes. But it looks not as bad because you're, right, as we said, lo mechzi kikona achshav, right? It doesn't look like you're making a new house. Now, it could just be that the Rashba is saying is that this whole idea of making a house is derabanan to begin with. Right? Meaning you're not actually building, you're setting up a legal fiction. And a legal fiction only looks like as if you're doing something significant. So if it doesn't even look that way, right, so it's twice removed from the actual malacha, so then it's going to be mutter. So that's what he says. And he says, Umari Baraglav Nami, came into Loboy Lame of Lomidi, and whenever you do it with your feet also, you don't say anything. Look at the guy, Masa Bilchod Lomexikon Akshav Klum. Our Gemara's case is where you're taking new bread and setting up a new Erev of Tchumen that you haven't set up before. So even if you set a condition, it looks like you're being Kona and Yom Tov, so it's forbidden. And then he adds another question in the middle, and he says, well, I just put the answer, but he says, and what about Hachana? Right? Why do you only say the problem is Shvisa? Why don't you say that the problem is Hachana? You're not allowed to prepare from Yom Tov to Shabbos. So he says, that I'm not going to say. Dafil beitza dekavasosh, and although Yom Tov Rishon, mutarz b'Shabbos, v'chanami, came in the masam, b'Yom Tov Rishon, l'mechzi kemeichen, b'Yom Tov l'Shabbos. So there's no problem of Hachana, because you're setting it tonight. Right? Hachana, he said, the problem of preparing from Yom Tov to Shabbos will be eliminated by the Tanai, because you're making it clear that you're not preparing from Yom Tov to Shabbos. You're saying, if today is Yom Tov, I'm not doing anything. If it's Chol, then I am. It's just this Koneh Shvisa, the Erev Truman, that he has a problem with, that he thinks looks worse. The public perception is worse, and therefore, even though logically it should be the same as Erev Tavshilin, halachically we treat it as more machmir. Okay, so that's just the point. Again, Toso says it in a little bit more complicated language, but basically that's what he thinks the difference is between Erev Tavshilin and Erev Truman. Now, in 9, the Shita Mekubetzet just argues that this is only true for Erev Tchumen, but Erev Chatzerot would also be mutter, because in Erev Chatzerot, often all you need to do is be Mevatel Rishos. So you don't even need to set anything up. All you need, if you have two people living in one Chatzer, one of them could say, okay, instead of setting up an Erev Tchumen, I'm going to relinquish my rights to my house over Shabbos, and that would work also. And since Erev Chatzerot you could do by relinquishing, so therefore, there's no real kinyan on Erev Chatzeros. So we think Erev Chatzeros is like Erev Tavshilin.
So is that the worry about the whole thing? Is the kinyan the Makane something?
Yeah, it's the kinyan. Yeah, it's the kinyan. It's the perception that comes from being Kona.
Kona. And the Kona goes to what? I mean, how far back? What's? Is it there for what?
Like Makaveh Patish or something.
Really?
Something like that. Makaveh Patish or Bona. Yeah, it's like a several step removed legal fiction thing. It's
a number, right?
Yeah.
It's not even close.
Yeah, but that's in general what we do, right? We don't do halachic kinyanim because they're near it.
I understand that.
Yeah.
I'm trying to see where.
But yeah, some sort of like Makaveh Patish type thing. Okay, he also adds that he thinks you can only make an Erev Tavshilin. I mean, now, again, if we think that the difference between Erev Tavshilin and Erev Tchumen is simply this public perception issue, so then the Shidun Gwetzit says something reasonable, which is Erev Tavshilin Shamarna, this is the second line, Dafka La'atzmo. You can only make an Erev Tavshilin Al Tanai for yourself. Avalainu Mazaka La'achirim. Mishum de lotiro elibitzin alatzmo, but you can't make it for other people, because if the whole problem is a public perception issue, so a private Erev Tavshilin doesn't have a problem. If the rabbi is going to do this, then everyone's going to know what's happening, and it's going to have the same public perception issue as Erev Tchumen, so he says you can't do that, and then he backs off of it, right? He says, no, a private person can't do it for somebody else, but in Yeshbo Tikkun Tzibur Mizakalem Mishum Kilkula. But if you're actually the rabbi and you're doing it for the Tzibur, you can do it because the public concern will be overridden by the public danger. So again, you just see this perception, the Rishonim, that the difference between Erev Tchumen and Erev Tavshilin is very technical. It's a question of how egregious does this look to the public. So, if you can find a case of Erev Tavshilin which looks really bad, then you can't do that. If you can find a case of Erev Chatzeros that doesn't look bad, then that's going to be mutter. And that's basically the conclusion here of many of the Rishonim. Okay. The Meiri, and we saw this already when we jumped to Halacha last week, but this is just the base in Rishonim, argues that when you make the Erev Tavshilin, it can only be with food, right? This is in 10. It's only with food that was cooked Erev Yom Tov. Right? Or even if he hadn't cooked special food for it, if he has food that he'd cooked for his meal on the first day, so we can use that. But you obviously can't make new food for the Erev, right? Because, right, it's not for today. And if today is Yom Tov, you can't cook for tomorrow. Right? The Erev Tavshilin is for tomorrow, so it has to be food you already have. And he says that's right. And then he says, but Erev Tchumen you can't do, again, because it's Kone by it. And again, we saw this already in the Shidim Gometzit, and some people say that Erev Chatzeret is Mutter.
Okay, but getting back to what Charlie brought up last week, there is no need for the Erev Tavshilin. The purpose for the Erev Tavshilin here is because you were supposed to do it, and so it's more of, like we had the two reasons for it, like you had the whole shiur about Soymeth on the Eretz Tefshulin of the Rav versus making it yourself. Do you actually have to do it? This is a case where he forgot to do it Erev Yontov, and in theory, he doesn't need to make anything. His making of Erev Tefshulin is more for the concept of being Yotze, both ideas of
Well, that was what we, well, that we saw this quickly in Psak, because it depends. If you remember our machlokas, and this is what we already saw last week, so I'll just say it outside. If you think that there's no problem with relying on the rabbi's Erev, so then you're right. Then halacha l'maisa, what you would say is, don't worry about it, but just rely on... But if you think there's a mitzvah to set up an Erev Tefshulin, and you might say even if you don't have to, you should, because there's a mitzvah. And you want to cook on Friday.
Correct.
Correct.
So, I understand that, but nobody here brings that up as saying we're doing it not for the sake of the actual Erev Tefshulin for the purpose of cooking, but we're doing it so that you're being Yotzei the Derabbanan of doing an Erev Tefshulin.
I mean, the Rishonim don't weigh in explicitly because it's not clear in the Gemara if it's a case where the rabbi had set it up or not. The Poskim do, and that's what we saw in the Poskim. Or the Poskim, that's a, right, the, right, that we, I think, I, either I put it from the Mishnah Berurah, I put it from the Pesukei Tshuvos, I say, right? Where he said, that's the Machlokas, right? In Halacha, yes, right? That is the Machlokas. The Poskim who think that we Paskin not like the Rambam, which means you can make the Tanai even Bezman Azeh. Some people say, okay, so make the Tanai because there's a mitzvah of Erev Tefshulin. Other people say, look, we have the Rambam, which I don't really understand, but it says you shouldn't do it, and you have the Rav's Erev anyway, so don't do it because there's no right mitzvah, it's just a matir.
Right.
And that's Machlokas in the Poskim, yes, exactly.
Okay, but what I'm trying to say is there's a big difference between Erev Tefshulin and Erev Tanchumen.
Erev Tanchumen, because you...
Okay, because one you need to make...
Correct.
...in order to do it, and the other you don't need to make.
I mean, that's a pragmatic issue nowadays, if when we have the rabbi setting up an Erev for everybody, yes. But in the time of the Gemara, right, there's no... Right, let's say the rabbi didn't set up.
Okay.
Right, if the rabbi didn't set up, then there's no... Right, then there's no... I mean, there isn't... I mean, both of them you need for something. It's true, Bizman Hazeh, if you don't set up an Erev Tchumen, you won't be able to walk that distance. The Erev Tefshulin just rely on the rabbi. So, halacha l'maisa, right, yes, right, there's much less of a reason. Without any lumdus, just halacha l'maisa would be much less compelled to set up an Erev Tefshulin because we rely on the rabbis. And Erev Tchumen, if we really wanted to walk somewhere, we would have to set it up ourselves, correct. But we wouldn't be able to anyways, so.
I have two questions. First,
yeah.
Marita Aine, Erev Tchumen. Shouldn't be that applicable because you walk outside the city and you put your stuff, nobody's going to see you. Because otherwise you wouldn't put it there. So it's outside the city. Second of all...
It's an interesting question. I don't know. Right. Meaning, I don't know if people are there. I mean, remember, it's not that far out of the city, right? Because you can't...
Yeah.
Right, people are putting it, let's say...
It doesn't amount.
It's like a
kilometer.
You know, yeah, something like that.
See kilometer.
I don't know.
The second question is, if it's in Eretz Yisrael, Kniat Bayit is actually a mitzvah, so you can do it on Shabbat too. So what's the problem?
Well, this is not an actual Bayit, right? No one's going to say you're...
Kniat Bayit.
We're talking about 2 days Yotiv. It's not Eretz Yisrael. We're talking about...
It's a good point. It's 2 days Yotiv.
So in Eretz Yisrael, it wouldn't apply.
It's a
good point. It's an interesting question.
It's a moot point.
Interesting question.
What do you do if you have a day and a half
If you have a day and a half in Eretz Yisrael, good Shaila.
And a half day, what do you do?
Either way, it's not a real buy-in, right? Kona buy-in, you're putting down food, right? It's a virtual house. Interesting question. Would you be Mekayim, a mitzvah yishuv? It's an interesting question, but Howie is right that we're not talking in we're obviously talking in Chutz Laretz. Okay. No, but you only have 2 days Yontif. You only have 2 days Yontif.
But let's say you're visiting from Chutz La'aretz.
No, that's the question of
right,
the two.
Right, and then you set it up.
I mean, I don't think that you're going to get a mitzvah. The truth is, I don't think you'd get a mitzvah for saying Erev Tchumen, but what you keep when you're in Israel is another shayla, and I don't want to ask Rai Karofkin.
I'm going with 1 day.
Okay, that's fine. Let's go ahead.
You missed last week.
Okay. Let's just make...
You're all good.
Okay, so just two more points here. So one is the Pnei Yeshua makes an interesting point. Another question that we saw the Rajba sort of swallowed is, why is there no problem of Hachana? So the Rajba said there's no problem of Hachana because you made it Tanai, right? So either today is Yom Tov, in which case you're not doing it today, or it's not Yom Tov, in which case you're preparing from Chol to Shabbos. So there's no problem of preparing for Yom Tov to Shabbos. The Pnei Yeshua says, I have a better reason. You can't say it's Aser Sepin Erev Tefshulin for Shabbos because of Hachana, because Erev Tefshulin, by definition, is a way of being Mechen for Shabbos. What do you think Erev Tav Shilin is? It's the way of permitting Hachana for Shabbos. I don't understand what you're talking about, right? This is 11. Debe Erev Tav Shilin lo shayach klal lomer deve Hachana biyom tov l'Shabbos. She'ikaro ba lahatir afiyo bishol biyom tov atzvo l'tzorach Shabbos. That's the point. And then he... Yeah, okay, so he has another issue here, but I'll just leave it at that. Then he has something about Metakin Kli, but we'll leave that. Okay. If you just skip down to 16, we did all the stuff in the middle. This was just the halacha. The Slach just brings up an interesting point, and he as follows: he says, "Avam yom to the chaver says saveku miyish kan shvisa klal shem lamacha uchal ein kan shvisa klal manav shach o shein sarach kinyan shvisa klal o shach kinyan hu biyom chal ein lanoy lasar." He says, well, what about you know what? Okay, you know what? This is going to take us afield. We'll just leave the tzlach and we'll move on to the next topic. He's getting into a technical point that he has a machlokas with the Rashba. Okay, so we'll leave the Tanai thing. We'll leave the Tanai thing there. Okay, so now let's move to the next. So get to the question of Rivui Shiurim, which is much more straightforward. So, yeah. Than the Tanai one. Okay, so back to the Gemara. So the Gemara says as follows. We are... it's like, whatever. Like 3/4 down the page, something like that. Tanai Rabbanan. Ein ofen miyom tov lechaver. You can't cook from Yom Tov to the next day. We know that. But be'emet amru, however, mimala isha kol kdei rabasar afal bishin etrecha el chaticha achas. If she's already cooking, she can fill up the whole pot, even though you only need one piece. Mimalei nachlam chavish al mayim, a baker who's warming up water for baking can fill up the whole kettle with water, even though he only needs one cup. But if you want to bake, you're only allowed to bake what you need. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, no. Mimala isha kol atanur pas, even if you're baking, you could fill up the whole oven with bread, mipnesha pas nefes yafe bismancha tanur malay, because bread bakes better when the oven is full. Amarava, Rava says, halach shimon melazer, that's how we paskin, that even bread, you could fill up the whole oven with bread, because it will benefit the bread itself. So we have this sugya called ribui bishiurim. Okay, so let's just outline first what the Gemara actually says, okay? So we have three cases. The first case is you're cooking food, and the Gemara says you're allowed to fill up the whole pot with food, even if you only need one piece. Mm-hmm. The second case is a case of water, where if you need one cup of water, you're allowed to fill up the whole pot. And the third case is the case of bread. Bread, we have a machlokas, where one position says you can't fill up the whole oven because there's no reason to, right? You're doing multiple acts of baking, right, which you can't justify, because if you only need one loaf of bread, how are you baking multiple? And the second position, Rabbi Shimon Elazar, says even baking, there's some benefit to the bread, because the bread will bake better when the oven is full. And maybe we should just get this out of the way now. There's a machlokas rishonim. Why does it make the bread bake better? Just a technical point. So you have two positions. Either Rashi says bisman shatanur mole shatanurim kitanim hayu umadbikin pas bitfanos mitoch shu mole mismayt chalolo vein makom chami musa lehishbashet vapas nefes yafe. So if you have you ever seen pictures of their ovens, you know what they look like. They're these cone things with the top cut off, right? They're the and you put the bread on the side, right? The laffa ones, right? They have it at one of them here. One of the laffa places here actually makes it that way.
The promenade
does. I know I saw it once. I think it's at the one like the one that's like in the industrial area somewhere. I remember they do it.
Oh, the one off Dufferin.
What's that one called? Whatever that one is, Dr. Laffa or Famous Laffa.
It used to be called Dr.
Laffa.
Whatever that whatever.
Used to be
I know there's at least 8 laffa places I've counted here, so I've lost.
There used to only be the one on.
Two more have opened up, so
there's one opening up in the mall.
One in the mall.
Which one? There's already one on the promenade, but
one at Spring Farm.
Oh yeah.
And King David's opened up another word.
Okay.
The idea is that the bread, the dough actually sticks to the side.
Yeah, you stick to the wall, right. Okay, so Rashi says, so why does it bake better? So Rashi just says, look, those things get, what you want to do is you want to condense the heat, because that makes it nice and crispy. So the more things you put in there, the crispier it gets. Mm-hmm. So that's why he says you add it. Now, some of the other Rishonim say the exact opposite. Yeah, if you look just at 12, I'll just skip to it, just to get the practical thing out of the way. The Rid just says, no, the opposite. Right, those type of ovens are super hot. You put one thing in, it's going to get burned. But if you fill it up, it'll spread out. Now, I don't know which is right. But the point is that it bakes better with it. So according to Shimon Elazar, you're allowed to fill up the... you're allowed to fill it up. Okay.
Can I just back up one step?
Sure.
Okay. What does it mean by Ein Ofim Yontov Chaveiro? Okay.
So day one to day two.
Okay, this day one to day two. Okay.
As Rishonim say, from day one to day two, V'kal V'chomer T'chol.
Why can we just say he can expect guests and he can cook whatever he wants, so put in as many bread as he wants?
Yeah, we learned that. Right?
So, yeah. We'll see, and some of the Rishonim bring up, that this may only be Derabanan. And if you pass like Rabbah, that Hoil, then alright, so it's not a problem. You're right. Because guests might come, but Derabanan is still us, sir. So, you're right. And that's what many of the Rishonim say, that this whole sugya is Derabanan to begin with. Other people say no, if you're explicitly doing it, and that's what we'll come to, is that some Rishonim will say exactly what Charlie said, is Deraisa, this can't be us, or it's Derabanan. Other people say no. Hoil only works if you don't explicitly say you're cooking for tomorrow. But once you specify that you're doing it not for Yom Tov, then Hoil doesn't help. Right? Hoil is a form of deceit, right? I can pretend that guests might come. But once I say I'm cooking this for tomorrow, so then even if, though in theory guests could come, it doesn't help you because you've designated that it's for, not for Yom Tov. And those are going to be the two positions that we'll see.
Okay, and this is Yom Tov and Galut? Or,
yeah, but it would be the same as Yom Tov Tachal. That's what all the Rishonim say. The Gemara picks this case as a Kal V'Chomer. Even from the day one to day two, you can't cook Kal V'Chomer from Yom Tov Tachal.
No, but would that also be applicable to Rosh Hashanah? That's what I'm asking.
Yeah, the Rishonim assume it is because we treat 2 days of Rosh Hashanah as Kedusha Achas, L'Chumra V'Lo L'Kula. That's the assumption of the Rishonim. I don't remember if I actually put one of the Rishonim who said it. I think I probably didn't. Okay. Fine. So, there are a lot of questions we need to deal with in this sugya. So, one question we're going to have to deal with, which is a local question, is to try to figure out the transition from step 1 to 2 to 3. Right? The only case here that we know why somebody thinks it's mutter is case 3. Right? Is the case of the bread. Right, we know that the reason Rav Shimon ben Elazar says you're allowed to bake multiple loaves of bread is because it helps it bake better. That's all that we know. We don't know why everybody holds you're allowed to cook the whole pot full of meat, even if you only need one piece. Now, there are two possibilities, right? One possibility is to say, from the one explicit reason, we understand the rest of the reasons, right? And it would go like this. The reason you're allowed to cook the whole pot is because it makes it cook better, right? Everyone knows, right? You cook, right? If you are cooking a large pot of soup and you can add more flavors to it, right? It'll come out better, right? I don't know if this is true. I think this is true.
Oh, I'm not sure.
I think it's true.
You can just take a smaller pot. I don't know.
I think it's true. I don't know. I don't know. Or maybe with meat it's true, right? The juices will run out. The more meat, the more...
The size of this pot.
I don't know. It will potentially influence it, Latov, right?
Sure.
That is the assumption that we'll see some Rishonim will take, is that... that really, the way this whole sugya runs is that the reason you could cook all the food in the pot is because it makes it cook better. The only question is that true of bread or not? Now,
how do you apply that to the water?
And that's going to be the catch, is it's not going to apply from the middle case of the water. So the other possibility is to say, no, there's an unstated reason here, which is, right, that the reason is mutter to cook all the meat together in the pot is because, not because it makes it cook better, but because it's one act. Right? Mm-hmm. And what the Gemara is teaching you is that one act is mutter because it's, you're right, the only thing it's usher is to do a new act of malacha. But filling up a pot that you're already filling up, right, you're already putting food in, is not considered a new malacha. It's the same act.
There must be a difference between baking and cooking.
It is, there is. And then and then what you would say is, okay, baking, you can't justify based on one act, and that's why the Gemara needed the secondary svara, which was that it makes it bake better. Right? Meaning, so the one way of reading is that all of the Gemara is one reason. It makes it bake better or cook better, and the only question is, what types of food does that apply to? The second possibility is no. The beginning of the Gemara says the reason you can fill up the whole pot, and this explains the water, is it doesn't cook better. It's just that you're allowed, once you're doing the act of filling up the pot, you're allowed to fill it up the whole way. Big deal. The baking is clearly multiple acts. So the only way to justify the baking is if I could say that it actually increases the quality of the bread, so then I have a secondary reason to be matir, but that's unique to the bread. That doesn't explain the original case. Yeah.
The difficulty with the cases is the baking, the amount of energy required to heat the oven doesn't change. So that sort of makes sense to me. When it comes to the cooking and the boiling of the water, the amount of energy that you're required to put into it changes dramatically. So cooking one piece of meat is substantially different from the hasakah point of view versus...
Correct. So now, and we'll see this, we're going to see all this in the Rishonim, but now just to play it out, since we're already saying it, and then the Rishonim will flow very easily. If you think the reason that the cooking case is mutter is because it's considered what the Rishonim will call tircha achas, one act, then the logical conclusion would be exactly what Howie said. It's only if it's true that it's tircha achat, right? Like you have a sink going, right? And I'm filling up my kettle, filling up my pot, and so I just leave the sink on, I fill it up. But let's say I have to go to the well, right? And I have to pour it twice, and I have to do two tirchos. Or let's say I already put it on the flame, and now I would have to go back, take it off the flame, and fill it back up. If the svara is not that it cooks better, but that it's tircha achas, then that case would be usur. And we'll see that many of Rishonim are going to say exactly that. Mm-hmm. Right? So this highlights the difference between these two positions. Right? If you think that the justification of the first two cases is tircha achas, it's going to be limited to cases where, in fact, you're not doing more work. If you think that, no, the reason that you can cook all the meat together is because it makes the meat better, then it doesn't matter how many times, how much it takes, because the justification isn't that it's one big act, it's that it makes the food better, and therefore it's an internal Yom Tov justification, and that is going to be the halachic nafka mina between these two positions, as we're going to see in the Rishonim. So
why did it bring a nachdom? Is that for sure?
So why nachdom in case two, but not three?
Right.
Right? And this is what many of the Rishonim are going to say, is if the justification, the nachdom in case two seems to be a practical thing, right, is that bakers needed a lot of water.
Right.
But the Rishonim do note that there's a jump, that we're talking about a baker, and then we're talking about a baker cooking water, and then we go from baking bread, and we say, not a baker, but a woman in her house. So what they point out is that seems to be intentional, right? Because I can justify why a baker is cooking water. I can't justify when you're already talking about a baker, and then you go to a discussion about baking, you decidedly stop talking about a baker and talk about a homeowner.
Right.
So what the Rishonim say is, well, wait a second. Why is it that you're allowed to bake multiple loaves of bread at the same time? Because it makes it bake better, either because it makes it hotter or less hot.
Right.
But they say, but wait a second, that's only true of your private oven. Right. But there comes a point when your oven is big enough that it makes no difference how many loaves of bread you have in it, and it's not going to help.
Like a baker.
And if that's the case, and the only justification is it helps the bread, then you can't do it anymore. Right? The halachic nafkamina to that would be, what everyone is going to say is, our ovens, which don't function the same way, it's going to be usser because it doesn't matter. Our ovens are not affected by how many things are in it, pretty much. Right? Because
sometimes if you put two or three, they cook
It'll usually cook worse.
Worse, right.
Right. It'll never be better. Sometimes it's worse, but the way we have our ovens, where they're equally heated, hopefully, as much... The good ovens are equally heated, and they're vented, right? So they're not... Right? The heat is not, you know... Is not building up in there, right? It's only going to make it worse by not letting the heat distribute. It's not going to make it better, pretty much, whatever you do. So that's where the reason I'm going to point out. They're going to pick up on exactly what Gerard picked up on. Okay, so that's going to be a series of issues that we need to deal with in this. So again, we'll see them in the Rishonim. The second issue we're going to have to deal with is not an internal issue, it's an external issue, which is this notion that Ribui Shiurim is mutter under certain circumstances, right? That once you're doing something, you can just increase the quantity, runs into many other sugyot where that doesn't seem to be the rule. So in addition to trying to explain the internal dynamics of our sugya, the Rishonim are going to try to figure out the external issues in our sugya, which is how do you line up this sugya with every other sugya and Ribui Shiurim. So those are going to be the two general questions that we're going to deal with. So let's start with the second one, just so that we can globalize the issue and see what the Gemara says about Ribui Shiurim more generally. So we have at least three other cases in Shas that deal with Ribui Shiurim. So the first one is in Chulin Daf Tezvav, that's source 1. So the Gemara says as follows. Here we're talking not about Yom Tov, we're talking about Pikuach Nefesh, right? So you have a Malacha, it's Asar and Shabbos, it's Motor Mishum Pikuach Nefesh, are you allowed to add? That's the question in front of the Gemara. So the Gemara says as follows. Kihadam Ravacha Baradam Marav, Amri Lam Rav Yitzchak Baradam Marav, Hashochet Lachol V'Shabbos, if you shecht for a sick person on Shabbos, Asar Labari, a healthy person can't eat that meat. I'm a vasher l'chol b'Shabbos, mutter l'bari. If you cook for a sick person on Shabbos, the healthy person is allowed to eat it. My taima, hi ra'oi lakos, v'hai eino ra'oi lakos. Because this one, something like you could have eaten the food before. Right, you can't eat the shchita. Without shchita, you couldn't have eaten it at all. The cooked food, you could eat it raw, right? Lakos, like to chew it raw, right? So you theoretically could have, right? The meat you couldn't have, but like, you know, the vegetables that you cooked, you could have. So then the Gemara continues, Amar Rav Papa, Pa'amin, there's sometimes shashochet mutter, that even shchita would be mutter. Kigon shayelo chola mi be'od yom, if he was sick already on Friday, mevashel aser, but cooking would be aser. Kigon shekotetz lo dilat. If you cooked a gourd, which was inedible before. Okay. Fine. So then the Gemara says, Amar Avdimi Minarda, Hilchasa, what's the halacha? The halacha is as follows. Hashochet l'chole b'Shabbos, if you shecht for a sick person on Shabbos, mutter l'bari b'umtza, the healthy person can in fact eat, can eat from it. My taima, kevan di efshar l'kezayis below shechita, since you can't shecht an animal. If you want even a kezayis of meat, you have to shecht. Ki kashachet, adai didachol kashachet. Once you're shechting for the sick person, and now everything just comes implicitly, because you already killed it. There's nothing you can do about it. So it's mutter. Hamevasha l'chola b'Shabbos, also l'bari gzereshem ayarba b'shvilo. But cooking for a chola on Shabbos, you can't give it to the bari, because you might add food for him. So what does the Gemara conclude? Right, this is the last line is what's important. The Gemara in the end of the say, Ribui Shiurim, Mutter or Aser on Shabbos? For Pikuach Nefesh, Aser. Right? So, we have so far, our Gemara says that Ribui Shiurim on Yom Tov is Mutter, and on Shabbos is Aser. That's, right?
Although this is more the Rabbanan, then this is more...
Correct. Now the simple answer could just be Rabbanan Daraisa, but that's... Let's just see the three cases, and then we're going to see how everybody deals with it. Okay, so we have one case, Ribui Shiurim, which is Aser, one which is Mutter. Amar Rabba, Cholesh Amdu LeGargoris. Again, we're going to have a Pikuach Nefesh case. This is Menachos Samach Dalet. If a sick person, we decide that he needs one date, one fig, V'ratzu Asar Bnei Adam V'viu Asar Grogos B'Vazachas, and 10 people run to get it to him, all at the same time,
Pturin,
on Shabbos.
Okay.
Right? You're picking it off a tree. Right? Right. This is Aser. So Pturin, they're exempt because he needed that one, and they all did it at the same time. So, you're right, he only needed one, but you all did it at the same time. So each of you can plausibly say that this was the one for the sick person. Afilu bezechar zeh, afilu kodam v'hivri barishon. And this is true, even if, in fact, they did it one after the other, right? Because they didn't know that. They just all ran to do it, right? And even if, by the time they got back, he was already healthy. Doesn't matter, right? They got a psak from the doctor, the rabbi, the doctor, whatever. He needs this, and they ran out to do it. So it was mutter for them to do it. They didn't know that someone else was going to do it. They didn't know he already got healthy. Doesn't matter. Fine. So then the Gemara says, okay, but now it gets more complicated. By Rava, cholish amdu l'shtei gargores. What if somebody needs two figs? V'yesh shtei gargores b'shtei uktin u'sholish b'chadzachas. But there's two branches here. There's two branches, each with one fig, and one branch with three figs. So what's the suffix? Haiminayu masnisin. Which one do you bring? Shtayim masin dechazilahu. So do you say, look, it's better to cut two branches, because then you're not adding any shear, because each of them only has one fig, so you cut the first one, legitimate. You cut the second one, legitimate. But you had to cut twice. Odilma sholosh maisinan, you bring the one of three, which is extra, but they come in my ksira, but you only have to do one act of malacha. So the Gemara says, pshita sholosh maisinan. Obviously three. The adkan lo kam arish mal hasam el dechim amayit ba'achila kam amayit be'ketira. Aval hacha dechi kam amayit ba'achila kam afshir be'ketira vade sholosh maisinan. He says, in the end of the day, it's obvious that we don't want you to be marbish urine unless it's mamayit malacha. So case one that we saw in Chulin says you can't be marba b'shirim. Case two says you can't be marba b'shirim unless it's mimayit malacha. And case three is a case from Mila, also pikuach nefesh case, where the Gemara says if you have a child who's going to have a bris Mila, hahu yenuka di ishtafu chamimeh. If you have a baby, so you prepared the hot water for the bris, which they understood to be pikuach nefesh. That was how they healed the baby after the bris, with this warm water. And the hot water spilled before the bris. So what do you do? So Amar Luhu Rava, it's very simple. Nishailei le'ime, ask his mother whether she needs hot water, because a woman who was 8 days, who had given birth only 8 days ago, if she says she's still sick and needs hot water, so it's considered pikuach nefesh, right? She's considered automatically pikuach for the first few days, or within the first week, and then from then until 30, right? Then it depends. If she is still actually sick, she's considered in a case of pikuach nefesh. So Rava said, ask the mother, and itzricha nachem leinachrei agavime. And if the mother needs hot water, so then have a non-Jew cook the water for the mother and add extra water for the child. So when you put them together, what we have is Yom Tov, Ribush Yurim is mutter. Pikuach Nefesh, Ribush Yurim is aser. Pikuach Nefesh, Al Yidei Goy, Ribush Yurim is mutter. Right? Those are the three cases that we have. Right? And the Menachos case just said that Ribush Yurim is aser unless it's Mamayit Ben Mamalacha.
So could you send a Goy for the Gargaris?
So
and
presumably then, you could send a Goy.
And it would make a difference.
Potentially.
And he could do two or one.
Potentially, which is what we're going to see. So the question before the Rishonim is how do you deal with all these sources, right? How do you explain why it is that in the Yom Tov case it's mutter totally, in the Pikuach Nefesh case it's aser, but in the Goy case Pikuach Nefesh it's mutter, right? That's what they want to know. How do you deal with those three cases together?
To send a Goy to do it, that's a Derabbanan though.
Correct, as is probably the Yom Tov case.
Right, okay, so that's also a difference.
Correct, so one simple answer is just simply going to be what Howie said. The difference is going to come down to one simple question. Deraisa, Derabbanan. What Gerard said as well. How he just said and what Gerard said right before. Right? And that's going to be the position of the Rashba. Right? The Rashba is basically going to say the solution to the whole Gemara is Deraisas versus Derabbanan. So that's going to be the solution to everything. And this is the position of many, many Rishonim, but I just gave the Rashba. So the Rashba says like follows. That is the solution. Im Tomar. Right? If you see, he'll just quote all the Gemaras. He says, There's one more Gemara he's going to quote, which is a later one in Beitza on Daf Chafalafam at Beis, Where the Gemara says you're not allowed to invite a non-Jew to your house for a Yom Tov meal, because you're only allowed to cook for Jews on Yom Tov, and we're worried that you're going to cook for a non-Jew, which are Marbet Bishvilo. So the Gemara says, so the Rashi is going to say, there you have a case that even on Yom Tov it sounds like Ribu Shurim is Usur, not Mutter. So that's the fifth case that he's going to want to square with this. Okay, so how do you deal with all five cases? So the Rashi says as follows: The Gemara in Beitza makes it sound like Ribu Shurim is Mutter. But we said you can't invite a non-Jew in Yom Tov because you might add for him. So he just so that case he gets out easily. He says, is it there? The concern is that you might cook a separate pot for him. Right? It's Xera derabanan because we're worried you might cook in a separate pot, which as we know from our Gemara is not mutter. You only had to cook in the same pot. But you're right. Fundamentally, to cook for the guy in the same pot on the fire is mutter. Because Yom Tov Ribu Shurim is mutter in the same pot. We'll come back to this line in the Rashba. And for sure meat, because the Rashba is going to take the position that the reason that you're allowed to cook the meat in one pot is because it makes the meat cook better. Okay, we'll come back to that point, but let's first square the other issue. And now he brings up all the other sugyas. Then I'm a vasha lechola b'shabbos asr lebari gzera shem yarba b'shvila asanami b'gzera acheres kamar. So he says, okay, pikuach nefesh case. Why is the pikuach nefesh case asr? So his first answer is you're right. If his first answer is actually pikuach nefesh is equivalent to yom tov. It's just that in the pikuach nefesh case, we're concerned that he's going to cook for him in another pot. But you're right. If he cooked any food he cooked for the chola in the same pot, would be mutter even for a healthy person. So in fact, they're totally equivalent sugyas. And the halacha always is that fundamentally, if you cook it in the same pot, it's mutter on Yom Tov for chol, on Yom Tov for the second day, for a chole, to a healthy person. The only thing that's usher in any case is cooking in a new pot. So that's answer one. Inami, afil bosek deir alacha sheinichu ala ish. Alternatively, where you already put it on the fire, delagabe Shabbos bengachu bengach usher. On Shabbos, once it's on the fire, you can't add more, because on Shabbos, that's a problem of Bishul. Okay, so that's his tentative answer. But then he has to deal with the rest of the cases. And he says, but what about the case in Menachos? The Bayrava Cholosh Amdu L'Shtei Gargores V'yei Shtei Gargores B'Shnei Uktin V'Shalosh B'Ukot Echad Haiminayu Maisinan Shtayim Maisinan D'Chazin Lay Odim Ashlosh Maisinan Mishum D'Kamayit B'Bitzira V'Asikna D'Shlosh Maisinan Shlaim Lo Maisinan. Right? What about the case in Menachos where we say that you bring the one and not the two. Mishum de kamimai be'uchla nefisha b'tzira. And what does it imply there? Mash mehasam de behachen hu de ibayle. That only in this case is it a question. Aval hecha de ika shtayim be'ukitz. Hu shlosha b'goz echa de shtayim ma'isinan shalosh lo ma'isinan. Right, so this is what the Rashba now says. The Rashba says, wait a second. In the case of the Gemara in Menachos, the Gemara only asked, what happened if it's two on separate ones versus three on one? But why didn't it bring a simpler case? Two on one versus two on two. Right? Meaning two figs on one branch versus two branches, each with one fig. Right? Why didn't the Gemara just bring that case? Right. Sorry, not that case. Take that back. Why didn't the Gemara bring a different case? Two versus on one branch versus three on one branch. Right? Why didn't the Gemara just say, is it mutter to cut three when you could get away with two, even though it's the same malacha? Right? That's the classic case of Ribu Shurim. Right? Because there's no complicating factor of Ribu Malacha. It's just, do I cut the branch with two? Why do I cut the branch with three? Why don't I just cut it with three? So he says, the fact that the Gemara says the only reason you're allowed to cut the one with three is because if you have a choice between Ribu Shurim and Ribu B'malachos, you choose Ribu B'Shurim. So what does that tell you? That if it weren't for that choice, Ribu Shurim would be usur. So the Rashba says, wait a second. So what that tells you is that Ribu Shurim is usur on Shabbos and mutter on Yom Kippur. So then he says, very simple, how do you answer all these cases? V'teiritz Rabbeinu Yitzchak HaZaken, Balatosva is the Re. The Balatosva says, Hasan b'shabas deika iser skila b'yom tov iser lav lo. Says even if they're both the araisa, right? Shabbos is still worse than Yom Tov. So answer one is that this whole thing is derabanan, right? That's the implied thing. Is that Ribush Yom is only derabanan, and therefore we're going to be machmir on Shabbos and make on Yom Tov because Shabbos is more machmir, simple. It's right. It's as easy as that. Lufiza he the chulin, and once you have that, you just say that's what the chulin is. Afil lohosif b'osa kadeira kol deman echasa agave eish nami gazrina, and that even cooking in the same pot on Shabbos for the chola and this healthy person is aser. The e kashalach eide garsin be'irvin berakadar. But what about the case of the mila that he yunuka di shtapo chamime? Also look at me the rava amrle nishayin le'ime itzricha nachem le'agad ima alma afil b'Shabbos ribishure share. Then how is it mutter in the case of the bris mila? Ishlomer dahiel yidei arma akamar. That's where it's a non-Jew. Of a lol yidei Israel, but for a Jew, you're right. Reba Shurim would be aser. Mechen kaz of Rashi v'tosvos. Umkoma kasavti gidivre harav bahag nirashu gores nichaimu leistam. Okay, and the last line is actually not necessary. So the Rashba says it's very simple. The rule seems to be Reba Shurim is midaraisa mutter, midarabanan is aser, and therefore we just say it's aser for Shabbos and mutter for Yom Tov. That's it. That's all there is to it. Reba Shurim is fundamentally mutter, but Yom Tov is less machmer than Shabbos, so we aren't gozer on it. On Shabbos, we are. End of story. No fundamental difference. It's a chumrah difference. It's a chumrah distinction. The whole thing is derabanan to begin with, and we're gozer on Shabbos. We're not gozer on Yom Tov, but you're right. Fundamentally, Reba Shurim is always mutter. Right? Whenever you're not marba b'malacha, Reba Shurim is mutter. That's it. That's what he says. Fundamentally, that should be true. We're just machmer on Shabbos. Period. Right? So the Rashba has this very sort of straightforward answer. Right? Which we're machmer in machmer cases, mekel cases. So now you take all the evidence. We're machmer in pikuach nefesh. We're mekel in pikuach nefesh al yidei goy, because that's only derabbanan. And we're mekel on Yom Tov, which is only in eser lav. And that's the end of the story, right? We draw the line between skila and lav. And anything which is skila, machmir, lav, or drabban, we're making, and that explains all the cases. Very simple.
But no one delves into the first case of the shchita. In other words, one which also gets...
Which shchita we say is mutter, according to everybody.
Right, because you have to...
Once you have no choice.
You have no choice.
Right.
Okay, so no one applies that concept. Like, let's say the fig, the case that they gave of the fig was you had three on one branch.
Right.
So you had, again, no choice. It was one action.
So if you only have one branch, that's true.
Right.
But if you have a choice of a three branch versus a two branch, then you have a choice. But you're right. If there's only one branch and it has three and you only need two and you cut it, then it's mutter. That would be the conclusion. Right? If you have two branches, you have a choice.
But they didn't give that case. So in other words, based on the Shechita case, it could be possible on the three.
Correct. You could create the equivalent case in the... If you only had one branch with three, you could cut it off and you could have the third. You could have the third fig.
Okay. What I'm saying is even if you had one branch with two and one
Shabbos?
Branch with three...
No, the Rashba explicitly does take that case. The Rashba said that case is also...
No, but I'm saying if he based it on the Shechita...
No, because there he's saying... Because by Shechita, it's Efshar. Right, it's by Shechita.
Okay, so you're saying it's Efshar because you had another
Rosh. Right, that's exactly the point. But the Rishonim do ask, what if you had an equivalent Shaila by Shechita? What if you had a small animal and a big animal?
Right.
Right? So then what would the halacha be? So Rishonim say, I actually think I did put, so we'll come to it, but I'll just say it now. I have to figure out which source it was in. Say no, because that's not called Ribu Bishirim, because the Isser by Shechita is Netilas Neshama. It's not killing the size of an animal, it's taking a life. And the life, it doesn't matter how big the animal is, you're taking a life. So, Ktsira, the Isser is, you know...
Unless you have a two...
Now, why you distinguish, I'm not really sure.
There's no difference between the two or three.
Correct. But they claim that it is. But you're... Mm-hmm. But it could just be the answer is, do you have a choice or not? By Shechita, you never have a choice. You have to kill the animal if you want anything, right? When you have two branches, you have a choice. So you could say, in a Hanami, you have a choice with two animals.
So I just want to make sure. So if you have a three on one branch, and you cut it, you're allowed to eat the third one,
correct. If you only have one choice, then you could eat the third one.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So that's the Rashba. The Rashba basically says the sugyas are the same. It's just a question of chumra, kula, etc. The Ran says something, I think this is where we're going to have to end with. The Ran says something totally and completely counterintuitive. And he quotes the Rashba, right? That there's no difference between Shabbos, Yom Tov. It's just a question of Chumra. But fundamentally, Ribush Yoram is only Asur Midrabbanan, and therefore it's really Mutter Midaraisa. We just are gozer in Machmer cases and not in Mekel cases. Ron says, I don't like it. Temahani Alam, I don't get it. Dim came, I come, Bailan Asam Nachon, Pshita, the Shalosh Mycene, the Ribu, Shurlo, Mitzar, Elamidrabbanan. So what do you mean? It's obvious, right? In the case in Menachos, he just said, look, if Ribu Shurim is only Drabbanan, the Ribu Mitzira, Mitzar, Midaraisa, what was the Rajba saying? That Ribu Shurim is Daraisa, but Ribu Melachos is obviously Daraisa. So what was the Gemara's question? The Gemara had said, which is better, cutting two branches to get two figs, or one branch with three? But according to the Rashba, that question is nonsensical, because Ribu Shurim, without an added malacha, is derabanan. Added malachos are deraisa. And yet the Gemara actually entertained for a minute the possibility that it would be better to cut a branch of two branches of one rather than one branch of three. Now, it's true the Gemara rejects it, but the Ron says if the working assumption was like the Rashba, that it's only derabanan to be marba b'shiurim, then the Gemara shouldn't even ask the kasha. It doesn't make any sense. So the Gemara said, right? Daha ilu amdu legorgoros acharu maisi shalosh b'ukadechaz lo avar adaraisa klal v'ilu v'yu shnayim shneishin uksim loke. He says, I'll prove it to you. He said, because what would happen if the guy only needed one grape, one fig? And you cut down one branch with three, so you'd be pater. If you cut the two branches with one, you'd be chayev. Right? Because ribui melacha is obviously usur, right? You can't just say, I have a sick person, I can do extra melachos. No, you can't do that. V'chayev chatas. So if the Rashba is right, this whole thing is derabbanan, so the whole thing doesn't make any sense. L'fichach nearly barer, devadei ribui shabbos mi da'oraisa mitzar. He says, no, ribui shiurim is da'oraisa. So then why is it mutter on Yom Tov? It says that Rafilachi lo dami Riba Shira be Yom Tov, Riba Shira be Shabbos, Shah Shabbos, Dechuya, he eats a chola, velo hutra. Lefira, kol sheikar, malacha, aser, after sefto, kamau, umitaser, mida raisa, val Yom Tov, shochol nevesh, hutter, bud, afil, efshir, mayor of Yom Tov, shari, kol shu marbala ikar, bilvache, tarech echa, to sefto, kamau. So he says like this, something very striking. He says this is very surprising. He says, it's very simple. Pikuach nefesh is what we call dichuya, and not hotra. That pikuach nefesh, it's only mutter if it's, right, it's dichuya. It's not that it becomes mutter, it's that it's pushed aside, but the iser continues to exist. If the iser continues to exist, so then ribu shiurim is aser, mida araisa. Yom tov is hotra. Ochel Nefesh tells you that on Yom Tov you're allowed to cook. What's the proof? That even if you could have cooked Erev Yom Tov, you're allowed to cook on Yom Tov. You don't try to avoid cooking Yom Tov. It's Mutter Lechatchila. That tells you that cooking on Yom Tov is not a malacha at all. So if that's the case, on Yom Tov, Ribu Shurim is Mutter. Because cooking for Yom Tov is Mutter. That's all there is to it. Pikuach Nefesh is a Isra which is held in abeyance. And since the Isser exists, but it's held in abeyance, you try to avoid it as much as possible. So the Rashba said it's all Derabbanan question. The Ron says, no, Ribu Shurim is a Da'oraisa problem, but only in cases where it's Dechuya, where the Isser exists and is held in abeyance. But if the Isser ceases to exist, then Ribu Shurim is Mutter. And normally we think Pikuach Nefesh is Hutra, and this is a big machlokas, and we're not going to get into the Hutra Dechuya by Pikuach Nefesh. But the Ron asserts that Pikuach Nefesh is only Duchuya. Many Rishonim say that's not true. It's Hutra, which is presumably part of what drives the Rashba to not say this, because Pikuach Nefesh is also Hutra. But the Ron assumes the difference is Hutra versus Duchuya, and Pikuach Nefesh is Duchuya, and Yom Tov is Hutra. And then he continues, he says, as long as it's one malacha, to and then he adds a second half to this verse. He says, look, since the Torah says, anything you need to eat, it must be that what the Torah was telling you is you don't have to weigh exactly how much do I need. When the pasuk said, cook on Yom Tov so that you can eat. It meant cook on Yom Tov so you can eat. It didn't mean figure out exactly how much I'm going to eat, right? That doesn't make any sense. Now you cook. And that's why in Yom Tov, as long as you don't do a new malacha, it's mutter. On Shabbos, where it's fundamentally prohibited, af tosefto kamahu, even the addition is like it, mi de'araisa v'lo nitan litchos, and therefore you can't push it aside, etzel chola l'fiza hayde irvin dafka l'dei nachriyu, and that's why the irvin case is only mutter, because it's a guy, right? So pikuach nefesh through a guy would be mutter, because that's obviously their rabbanan. So the Rajba says, again, that there's one rule in Reb Shirim. Chomer case, it's all their rabbanan. In Chomer cases, we're Machmir. In Mako cases, we're not. So Pikuach Nefesh on Shabbos, we're Machmir, because it's Shabbos. A Goy on Shabbos, which is a Derabanan, we're Mekil. Yom Tov, which is an Isser Lav, we're Mekil. The Ran says, no, the rule is Hutra versus Dechuya. When a Malacha continues to exist, but is held in abeyance, so then you can't be Moshe Bashirim, because it's fundamentally Usser. So you have to minimize the result of the prohibition that you're doing. If it's Hutra, you don't have to, because it's fundamentally Mutter. Yom Tov is Hutra because you're just allowed to cook on Yom Tov, as long as it's not explicitly for tomorrow. Pikuach Nefesh is only Dechuya, which again is the largest, is a big assumption and not obvious at all in Rishonim, but that's the position of the Ran, right, who takes the fundamental approach against the Rajba. So we'll stop there and continue the rest of the sugya next time. I did not think we would get through all of this, but.